The person that wrote that in the Bible, his name is Garland Robertson, and he's been on staff at a church down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida for 21 years, and he's like a spiritual father to me, and it's just one of the great honors of my ministry life to introduce him to you as our speaker today. So give him a Northwoods welcome.
Well, thank you. I told the folks in the earlier service, I'm going to start taking Sammy with me everywhere I go. That was incredible. But you know what? I still believe in Sammy. And he's such a great guy. And you are very blessed to have him here. And I agree. Give him a hand. He's one of those guys that never meets a stranger. And he's a funny fella. Tell you, it was exciting yesterday for my wife and I as we were touring your facility. And just let me say, it's an amazing facility, to use that word that's the beginning of our series here. But just an amazing facility. But we walked through the lobby, and over in the area where you greet folks out there, Sammy was in there conducting a funeral. And it was just so neat for my wife and I to just stop for a moment and look in there and see Sammy doing what he does so well, and that's caring for people. And it's been a treat to just be able to spend some time with him. And he's just one of those great guys. And then we were kind of looking through some of the offices, and I saw a picture of your lake baptism. And Sammy was there with a lot of the other pastors and helped prepare that. And that's one of the things that he did down in Fort Lauderdale. And one of the things we started doing a few years ago was what we call beach baptism. And we would go to the beach on a Sunday afternoon, and we would baptize folks. And we had a big event that was coming up, and several hundred people lined up to be baptized. And we were excited, and Sammy had helped put this thing together. And Sammy had gotten us these bright yellow t-shirts to wear, all the pastors that would be baptizing. So we make our way down to the beach. We had a big cookout there. And I was having a meeting with all the pastors and gathering them around just to talk through how we're going to do it and who was going to be where. Sammy was there helping with that. And Sammy just kind of steps into the huddle like only he can do. And he said, "Fellas, don't look now." And there was this guy named Arturo. And he was our newest pastor on staff and worked in our Spanish ministry. And Arturo was from Mexico. And Arturo was kind of coming just a little bit late, but old Sammy leans in and he says, "Fellas, don't look now, but I think old Arturo's got on a Speedo." And we slowly turn around, and wow, you know, it's just one of those moments where we're going, "Oh, dear Lord." And as Arturo made his way to the huddle we were in, and everybody's kind of looking, Sammy looked at him and said, "Arturo, do you have anything on under that t-shirt?" And it was an awkward moment. And the bad part was, next time we had baptism, Sammy wore one. So, now that's not true. I think we'd all left. That'd have been terrible, bro. But just great memories, and we just are so honored to be here. I just want to take a moment and say thanks to Sammy, but also to Pastor Cal and the rest of the staff and you as a church. We are so honored to be here. And one of the things that we're very protective of at home in our church is our stage. We're just very particular about who's there and who's speaking and singing, those kind of things, because we feel like it's a very important place. And so I don't take it for granted. I just accept this with great responsibility. And I'm so grateful and just honored that Pastor Cal would let my wife and I be here. And I want to introduce you to her. She's right over here. Her name's Kelly. Stand up, hon. She's beautiful. Wow. Got the lights on you. That's good. All right. And Friday, we celebrated 27 years of marriage. And so we're excited about that. And that applause is for her, because she's put up with me. She deserves a medal or two. But anyway, we're just honored to be here, starting a series called Amazing. And just what a great series, because we're talking about amazing grace this weekend. And it has so much to do with what God has done here over the past 19 years and 11 months, as Sammy was letting us know. And God's done some incredible things here. And just to see your church and have the opportunity to meet so many people, it's amazing what God's done here. And this is just something that we can't take for granted. It's an incredible thing. And so we celebrate God's amazing work, not just in the past, but also for what's ahead in the future. Because the neat thing about when you serve God and whenever you put your life in His hands and you accept that amazing grace that He gives to us, He's not done with us. There's some great things that are yet to come. And so we want to celebrate that and look forward to that. You know, as I thought about Amazing Grace, I thought, you know, I've probably sang that song hundreds, maybe even thousands of times, and you have as well, that Amazing Grace song. It's a popular song, even in the secular culture. And I don't remember, though, just a clear definition that I've heard of it. I mean, we kind of know what it is and we talk about it, but what is Amazing Grace? So I just kind of broke it down, and the word grace, if you look in the dictionary, it means favor or goodwill, but grace is far beyond that for us as believers. You see, when you look at it from the spiritual side, grace is what we call unmerited favor. It means that we get something that we don't even deserve. It's God's free action for the benefit of His people. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. It's God's freely given, unmerited favor towards the sinful and failing. That's you and me. And God's given His grace. It's just this expression of forgiving and redeeming and restoring love towards those that aren't worth it. And that's us. And that's what grace is as we look at it from the spiritual side of things. And then you throw in the word amazing, and it just simply means causing a great surprise or sudden wonder. And when we put them together, though, it really produces just this incredible thing. And here's kind of what I wrote out to understand amazing grace. It's the understanding and acknowledging the awesome and wonderful gifts and blessings that God has given us. It's an understanding and acknowledging the awesome and wonderful gifts and blessings that God has given us. And that's what God has done at this church. He's done some amazing and incredible things. And He's given us great gifts and blessings, these wonderful gifts that we have. And it's His grace that we have that. But what did it take to happen? It took a transforming power. And we see an example of God's transforming power, not just here, but as we look in Scripture, we find it in the early church. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to open your Bibles, if you have them, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 42 through 46. Acts chapter 2, and we see the beginning of the early church here. If you don't have your Bible, we'll have the verses on the screen. But in Acts chapter 2, it kind of explains what was going on in these believers' lives. So let's look in verse 42. It says this: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Incredible things we see there. But as I looked at that passage, I always like to understand who we're talking about and what's going on. And so as you look at just the first line that we find there, it just says, all the believers devoted themselves. And just in that one line, we find three important things that help us to understand who we're talking about. And the first word that we see is all. And all just simply means the whole of. It means everyone. And that's an incredible thought, because it's talking about these believers, and it talks about all the believers. Now, anytime that you can get a group of believers together and they all agree on the same thing, that's amazing, right? I mean, you want to talk about people that go at it sometimes. But it says all the believers, all of them, they came together. And of course, believers, it just simply means those who had committed their life to Christ. Now, the environment and the culture that they lived in was a tough one. If you were a believer in Christ, there were people who were being killed for their faith, being tortured, being singled out. It wasn't an easy thing. But it says all the believers, and then the key word in this, devoted. It says all the believers devoted themselves. They committed, they dedicated themselves. They were very devout and loyal and steadfast. They were wild about what they believed in. They were zealous about it. They came to a full devotion of four things. Four things that we see in this passage. And so let's look at those. Here's the first thing that they were devoted to. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So they were devoted to God's word. They were devoted to God's word. And any time that you take God's word and you place it in your life, it's going to affect you. And it's going to affect you in a positive and in a correct way. Now, sometimes when we put God's word in our life, it's a little uncomfortable, but the reason for that is because there's sin in our life sometimes. And you put God's word in your life, it's going to push that sin out and it's going to make you aware of what's going on. But God's word is powerful. In Psalms chapter 119, there's a verse that says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Whenever we have God's word in our life and we memorize it and put it in our heart and in our head, it helps us to push away the temptation of sin. Even when Christ was tempted by Satan himself, Christ quoted scripture. And Satan had to leave because he couldn't stand up against God's word. And so we see the early church, they devoted themselves to God's word. It was a huge, powerful thing. But then there was a second thing. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Devoted themselves to fellowship. Now, fellowship is when we come together and we communicate, when we care about each other, we share common interests and desires and motivations. In other words, we come together with this one motive, and that's just taking care of each other and celebrating what God's done in our life. Those kind of things happen here at church. They happen in small groups. They happen in the things that Sammy was talking about, the greatest breakfast in the world. 7:40, right? I got that. Okay? And those are the kind of places where fellowship happens. And they devoted themselves to it because it's important in the church and it's important in believers' lives. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it said this, "And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need." They knew each other. They knew who had needs and who didn't, and they took care of each other. They fellowshiped together. They celebrated who God was. The third thing that we see that they were devoted to was they devoted themselves to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. In other words, they broke bread together. And one part of that is they did it to remember what Christ had done. We do that when we have communion or Lord's Supper. We take the bread and we take the wine. It represents what Christ has done. But even beyond that, they just shared meals together. Now, an interesting thing happens when we share meals together. And look in verse 46, and it kind of talks about this. It says, "They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals together with great joy and generosity." So great joy and generosity was in the middle of it. You know, when you share a meal with someone, you let them into your world. You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like we start taking down the walls around us. When you invite somebody over for dinner, or you go to someone's house for dinner, there's an openness there that exists. And so we're open for relationship. We're open for intimacy. And that takes place. You ever gone to dinner with someone that you didn't want to be with? Oh, some of you, that happens at Thanksgiving and Christmas, right? Okay? But you know what? It's very uncomfortable sometimes, isn't it? I mean, you're just wanting to get done and get out of there. But man, when you open up your home or you open up a meal to someone where you're building relationships, that's an intimate moment. And we start to take down the walls around us and we open up and we share. Share who we are and we learn who they are. My wife and I experienced that yesterday. We had lunch with Gary Webb. What a great guy. And we just spent time talking together and just kind of talked about each other, what's going on in our life and in his life. You know, by the end of the meal, we felt very close to him. So we just shared things about our families and things like, I know things to pray about in Gary's life now. And we took down some of the walls. We opened up to that. Same thing took place when we got here Friday evening and Sammy and Sonia took us to dinner. And we went to dinner and we were just talking and having fun and kind of taking those walls down. And just reuniting our relationship. And I don't know how, but somehow we got on the topic of feet. And Sonia shared with us, she said, you know, she goes, Sammy's feet, she said, his heels are like Brillo pads. And when he rubs them up against me, it just scratches my legs. And I said, well, that's enough. You know, we don't need to know any more about Sammy and his body parts, or, you know. But it was just a fun time. But you know what? We do that. We open up. And Emil provides that, and they understood that. The breaking of bread was important to them. Now, some of us are good at that, and, you know, we just quickly open our home. You've met those people. They have the gift of hospitality, and they just love to just kind of share and just say, come on in, here's what we got, and you feel so welcome. For some of us, it's tough, though, isn't it? I mean, maybe it's because we're a little bit private, or maybe we're even shy. But I really believe the reason that most of us struggle with that sometimes is because we're hurt. Got some hurts in our life. And there's been people that we've opened our home to and we've shared meals with, and they've violated our trust. They've told things about us, maybe made fun of, and maybe even broken our hearts at times. And so we have those hurts in our life, and I think that happens to most of us. I've had those kind of hurts in my life with people I trust, and I'm sure that I've hurt people too. But you see, here's the amazing thing that takes place. When we experience God's transforming power, He changes us. And in the early church, these people were able to open up and to share because God changed their life. And the same thing's been true for a lot of you. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you. Let Him change you. Let Him turn you into a new person by changing the way you think. You know how incredible it is to change the way that we think sometimes? We get so set in our ways, but it says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn and know God's perfect will for you. You're going to know what God's will is, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So if you want to know God, let Him transform your life. He did that in the early church, and I really see evidence of that here at Northwoods. Then there was a fourth thing. They devoted themselves to prayer. They've devoted themselves to prayer. And prayer is just so important. I'm reading a book on prayer right now. There's so many books. There's so much information on prayer. And sometimes if we want to, we can get it complicated. But, you know, I just have a simple definition for prayer. And it's just this: prayer keeps it going. Prayer keeps it going. It keeps our relationship with Jesus Christ going in the right direction. Because you know what prayer is? It's just communication. It's just opening up, and it's talking to our Lord. It's talking to our God. And it's through prayer that we worship. We worship who God is, and we praise Him. We lift Him up. It's through prayer that we confess our sins and we come clean with the things that are in our life that hinder our relationship with God and others. It's in prayer we experience that forgiveness. It's in prayer that we tell God what our needs are and we ask for them. It's in prayer that we thank Him. It just goes on and on, the value of prayer. You know, I've seen that here at Northwoods. Before every service, I've had people who have prayed over me. You know how humbling it is to have just godly men put their hands on you and pray for you and pray that God will work in your life? It's encouraging, it's humbling, and it's all these things. And each time when I was done, I was excited to get in here and speak. But that's what happens whenever we use prayer in the right way and we devote ourselves to it. I see that happening here. So how do we continue in God's amazing grace? Because these four things we've looked at, they're pretty incredible. And we're seeing that happen, but how do we continue in that? Well, Paul just kind of breaks it down when he talks about the message that he brought in Acts chapter 20, verse 21. And here's what he says. He says, I've had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and having faith in our Lord Jesus. When you break down the message of Paul and Luke and all the apostles and the disciples, here's what they say. I've had one message for the Jews and Greeks alike, for everybody. It's the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and having faith in our Lord Jesus. He mentions three things here. And here's what he says. Here's the components. The first was repenting. Repenting. The necessity of repenting of sin. And that's so important. Whenever we begin our relationship with Christ, what do? We realize we're sinners. And we blow it. We make mistakes. That's the reason we need God. And we repent of our sins. We pray a prayer like this. We say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm messed up and I need you in my life and I'm giving my life to you now. And we repent of sins. And it's a necessity. But you know what? That necessity continues on in our life. Because as we move forward in our relationship with Christ, we're going to mess up here and there. And you do it and I do it. But here's the neat thing. God says, then you confess those sins and you come clean. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what that means? Whenever we confess the sins in our life, God cleans us up. Is that incredible? So I don't know about you, but sometimes I just feel dirty and unworthy. But God cleans us up when we confess our sins. And it's he that does it, it's not us. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 confirms that. It says, God saved you by his grace, there's that word again, when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. It's grace. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. We can't brag on what God did. He did it. And that's why it's so important that we stay clean. He said repenting of sin, but then the next thing was turning to God. Turn to God. He said the necessity of turning to God. And basically all that is doing what the early church did. It's making sure that we live in full devotion to God's word, to fellowship, to that breaking of bread, remembering who God is and what he's done for us, to having that prayer life that's so important, to pray for others, to pray for ourselves, to come clean with our sin when we need to. And he said, so you need to turn to God. But then the third thing that he says is to have faith in Christ. To have faith in Christ. And faith is one of those things that sometimes it's a little tough for us to have faith, isn't it? And sometimes there's things in our life that we look at and we're thinking, man, it's just too big. But he says you have faith in Christ. And faith in Christ is just simply realizing that he's enough. That Christ is enough. He said the necessity of having faith in our Lord Jesus. Faith in Christ is realizing that Jesus Christ is enough for us. Jesus Christ's payment for our sin is enough for us to have a relationship with God, and we get eternal life through that. And he said, you got to have that faith, and you got to keep pushing forward in it. And you know, faith has so much to do with not just now, but the future, doesn't it? And it's trusting God that he's going to take care of things in our life. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound in you, or abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You know what? Jesus is enough. He's going to take care of it. We're going to have everything we need to do the things that he wants us to do. We have faith that God's going to continue to work in our lives. It's been an incredible run here at Northwoods Community Church. 20 years. That's amazing. What a huge victory. But I really believe that God's going to do something even better as we move forward. It's going to be incredible to see what he's going to do. And the only way that you're going to be able to accomplish these things is by God's grace. It's his grace that makes it possible. You know, I've experienced that grace in my life. And so have you, but God's been good to us. I talked about my wife and I celebrating 27 years of marriage, and God's just been great. I began to work in my first church right before we got married and was able to work there in Miami for about 6 years, and then we moved to a church in Fort Lauderdale. I've been there 21 years now. God's just done great things, and we've been so blessed. In the midst of that, God's given us two great daughters. They both know Christ. They love the Lord. Our oldest daughter is married to a godly young man. Our youngest daughter is getting married in May. And the young man she's marrying loves the Lord. And those are things we prayed for before they were even born. When they were babies, we'd go pray while they were in their crib for those things. And God's just, his grace has been incredible. But the last four and a half years have been an interesting journey for us in our lives. There's been some tough moments there. And in November of 2005, my father-in-law, Kel's dad, passed away. And he's a great man. He's kind of a stubborn guy, made his own way through life and became very successful in business and owning his own company. But you know what? He never knew the Lord. And Cal and I, we prayed for over 20 years that he would accept Christ. And a year to the day before I did his funeral, I got to lead him to Christ. It was just an incredible moment for us. But even when he still passed away, it was hard for us. Because we just wanted to see that change take place in his life. And he was just a great man. And then 2.5 years after that, my dad, he had pastored for over 55 years. Just the godliest man I've ever known. I remember when I was a kid waking up in the middle of the night and hearing someone talk. I'd go into their living room. My dad would be on his knees just praying in the middle of the night. Just a godly man, a mentor to me in my ministry. And in March of 2008, my father passed away. That was a big blow to me. He had become my best friend. And then just a month after that, after we'd gone and been a part of the funeral, I did a service and all, we came back home. And my mother-in-law, her health wasn't great, but just she passed away just unexpectedly all of a sudden. My wife and I, we found her in that situation, and that was tough for us. We lost 3 parents just in a matter of 2.5 years. And through all of that, our daughters have grown up, and they graduated from college, and that's a good thing, but still you have to release, and that's hard to do. We've seen them kind of go their way. Our oldest daughter got married March of last year. Our youngest daughter will get married in May of this year, and we celebrate those things. But still, it's you're letting go of things you've invested in for 20-plus years. One of my sisters recently, just in the past few weeks, has been diagnosed with psychotic depression and paranoid personality disorder. And she's got it real bad. Just a terrible case. And she struggled all through her adult life, but now it's worse than ever. And we're at a point where we're having to make some decisions concerning her life. My mom's in the middle of that, and in her later years, it's just not a fun time. And she's a godly woman. And we're just praying continually for God to heal her and to work in our lives and teach us what we need to learn through. And we trust God. We really do. And we know that his timing and what he wants to do is best. We accept that. But we've had a lot of loss in a short period of time. We've lost our fathers, lost a mom. We've lost people that we look up to and mentors in our life, friends, advisors, security. I can still remember just calling my dad and hearing his voice. Even when I'm in my 40s and still there was just this sense of security by hearing his voice. You know what I mean? And the comfort of just having them around us. And Cal's mom just always invested in our lives. She just spent her whole life raising her kids. And the same with my mom. She's still with us. But in the midst of this, we've kind of let our daughters go and my sister and what's happened there. And, you know, you get to that point where you're supposed to be what we call empty nesters, you know. You look forward to that and the freedom that comes with it. And that's exciting. But in the midst of that, we kind of got another thing that happened in our life. And we even lost some of our freedom because my wife has an older sister that's 52, 53, and her name's Lisa. And Lisa's special needs. She has some mental challenges in her life. And when Cal's mom passed away, we took total guardianship of Lisa. And so she lives with us now. And right when we let our girls go, all of a sudden we got a new daughter that's going to be with us the rest of our life. And we have to take care of Lisa. And I mean, that's not something we begrudge. We love Lisa and we're excited. She brings much joy into our life. But it's a new chapter, a new page for us. But in the midst of all that, we're learning some things. We're grabbing hold of some things that God's teaching us. And Lisa is one of those things that God is using to teach us some lessons. Because you know what? Lisa, she loves life. I mean, and it's the simple things that make a difference in her life. If you take Lisa to a ball game, you'd think you gave her $1 million. She gets excited and she's just thrilled. If you take her to a movie, she's just pumped about it. If she's going anywhere, she'll pack her suitcase like 3-4 days in advance. She's ready to go. And she just loves those things. She loves to joke around and have fun. She helps with the preschoolers at the church we're at, and then she calls them my kids. She goes, I'm going to go take care of my kids. And they love her there. She loves American Idol, and I do too. I watch that with her. She loves Dancing with the Stars. I don't like that. Sorry. Okay. Just doesn't work for me. I think Sammy does. Picking on him again. He'd be great on that, wouldn't he? But Lisa loves Jeopardy and Cash Cab. Those are her favorite shows. And I always wonder, why does she like that? And I just kind of watched her. And you know why? She tries to answer the questions. And a lot of times when the show's on, she won't answer a single question. She just doesn't understand. She's not mature enough. But every once in a while, she'll get one right. And when she does, it's a big deal. The other night, we were watching Jeopardy together, Lisa and I, and my wife was there, and our daughter home visiting us. And in the course of the show, Lisa got two answers right before me. And it was a big deal for her. And she's just smiling. And so when the show was over, I announced to everybody, I said, Lisa is queen of Jeopardy for today. And we clapped. She's just grinning. When you looked over at her, she's going. She got two right. And she was letting everybody know. Just grinning from ear to ear. You know what? That was a big deal from her. And I learned a huge principle the other night from Lisa as I looked at that. I just looked over at her and I thought, you know what? It's the little victories in Lisa's life that make the difference. It's just the little victories. It's just getting a question right on Jeopardy or Cash Cab. Or it's just getting to go in the car with someone. And Lisa works at a grocery store near our house. And she loves bagging groceries for people. And she'll walk them out to the car. And they're not supposed to take tips, but Lisa will do this. You know? And she's got little Ziploc bags at home just full of $1 bills. And people give her tips. She'll come home, good day today, you know? But those are just little victories in her life. But it makes a difference. And I begin to realize, you know what? Sometimes we forget about the little victories, don't we? Life gets complicated, gets busy, and we get dealing with all these different things, and we forget about the little victories in our life. You know, Northwoods Community Church is about to celebrate 20 years. 20 years of God's amazing grace where his transforming power has been over this church and just amazing what he's done here. That's a huge victory, isn't it? It's huge. But you know what? It's made up of a lot of little victories. And those little victories are you. It's you. It's whenever you gave your life to Christ. It's whenever you were praying for a spouse or one of the children in your home and they made that decision to come to Christ. It's when you brought a friend to church and they heard a message that just totally blew them away and it changed their life. It's when you got baptized out in the lake or on a Wednesday night or whenever it was. And it's when you overcame an addiction that had held you hostage for years and was just tearing up your life and those around you. Those little victories. It's when you experience healing in your life, and maybe it was your health or maybe it was your finances or a family member that God changed their life, but it was healing that you experienced. Maybe it was when you finally realized that you could serve others. And you started just by being an usher or a greeter or working with children or whatever it is, but that was a victory in your life because God was using you. 20 years, one huge victory, but it's made up of a bunch of little ones, and it's you. So here's my question. What about the next 20 years? What about the next 20 years? Because you see, the whole idea is once you started this journey, you don't stop. You stay on it. And here's what I really believe. I believe the best is yet to come. I believe there's going to be victories in the future, but you're the one that has to win those victories. And it's not just you, but it's the people around you, the people that you're going to influence and that you're going to touch so that God continues to do his amazing work here at Northwoods. That his amazing grace is something that not just we experience, but those around us. And we're going to share in those little victories. So who's going to win those victories? It's going to have to be you and I. We're going to have to remember that part about repenting of our sins, turning to God, having faith in Christ, making sure that we've got a full devotion to God's word and to fellowship and to breaking bread together, to taking care of each other, remembering what God's done for us, and praying and letting God work through that prayer. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." Continue to grow in that grace. And when we do, we're going to grab those little victories. And we'll celebrate not just now, not just the first 20 years, but we're going to celebrate 20 years from now too. And we're going to look back on what God's done and the huge victory that's made up of all these little victories in your life and mine. And it's by God's grace that that's going to happen. And we give the glory to Him. So let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we do celebrate your amazing grace. And Father, it's unbelievable what you have chosen to do in our lives. And Lord, we're not worthy. We're so humble. When we stop to think about how incredible your grace is, how amazing it is. But we thank you for that. And Father, we acknowledge, we understand what you've done through us. We understand the blessings and the gifts that you've given to us. And because of that, we praise you. And Father, we look forward to what's ahead. We celebrate not just what's behind, but also what's ahead. Father, I lift this church to you and pray you'll just continue to work through it. I lift Pastor Cal to you. And I pray that you'll continue to work in his life, Lord. Continue to work through the vision that you've given to him. And thank you so much, Lord, that he follows you. And he listens to you and he's following what you want to do. I pray that you protect him and his family. We just pray that you would continue to work in this great church. And we thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. We thank you for your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen.